In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, amen. May the Lord bestow upon us His grace and His blessing, now and ever, to the ages of all ages, amen. This is the second Sunday of the blessed month of Baba, in which we heard the great gospel reading according to St. Luke, which is the catch of the fish. That was the first great miracle with the disciples that was a sign to His Majesty, and also about His creation and work in their lives. And as we spoke last year about the first part of the instruction to St. Peter, at how that he told him to launch out into the deep, and how we took this as a lesson for how not to live a superficial life, or a life that is in the shallow, but how that the Lord is always compelling us and encouraging us to go out into the deep. This year, we'd like to focus our meditation on the second half of the command of the Lord, how to let down your nets for the catch. This passage and this selection of the gospel reading is much. There's much in this very few verses that gives us a picture of the Christian life, a Christian life of service, of prayer, of meditation, and of a community. How if after we were obedient to the command of the Lord and launch out into the depth of prayer and worship and launch out into the depth of His scripture, that is not only sufficient, but for us in order to let down the nets for a catch. If we believe that this gospel will change our life and our families and our communities, how much did we prepare for the gospel reading? Of course, they used to tell us and for us to practice to read do the readings at home and to come prepared so that we read it in the community of prayer and worship, and also receive the instruction for us to depart. You know the famous story of Saint Anthony. I don't have to repeat it to you. But what is unique is that he was meditating and reflecting on how to live the gospel on throughout his journey to the way of the church. So when you went to sleep in the evening, was it your petition in your prayer that you would hear the voice of God clearly in this day so we can obey and be faithful, so we know how to live according to His instruction for the rest of the week? Or when we said the litany of the gospel, the same thing. I was very pleased to hear that in the readings that you seem to be very attentive to hear the Pauline epistle and the Catholic epistle and the reading of the Acts, which prepare us for the gospel. And when you are attuned to the readings, when they say the Pauline epistle, for example, that's related to a patriarch, or they read the book of Acts, so you know the gospel reading that is coming already, even if you haven't read it the night before. And specifically for this Sunday, that's related to how that we are prepared as the fishermen to leave with something. Not just leave with a pleasant day, with a nice story that we can say with what happened in the church, or what we had spoke about with our beloved, but to leave with the catch that is a reminder for us of Christ's work in our life. During the next 3 years, the apostles had forgotten a lot of what had happened, especially during the crisis of the cross for them. Although it was the work of salvation, in that day they were full of fear and confusion and doubt. And it was not until they caught the fish the second time that they realized exactly what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. And they understood, they gave him a reorientation, the second catch of fish. And the two gospel readings are related to one another. We reflect on that in the Holy 50 days. But for us, that this catch of fish is a reminder for us of what we are to be doing. Notice how the Lord Jesus Christ at the end told Simon Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." What is the fear in catching the fish? It was mentioned very quickly by the evangelist. After they caught all of the fish, it was so much the boats began to sink. And this didn't happen to them before. And Simon Peter, a man who was a great leader, but also very impetuous, you will see that his emotions go back and forth very quickly. And although he was filled with great joy, then he was filled at the same time with great contrition and repentance, and said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And then when the boats began to fish, the Lord was encouraging him, saying, "Do not be afraid." The catches, they take place in each moment in our life, that God is speaking to us and working with us in the church, in our readings, in our work, in our families, wherever we are. But are you prepared to receive those fish that the Lord is speaking to you about? And how much do they remain with us? They used to have a tradition in the monastery of St. Anthony, after the Great Fast and after the Holy Week, they used to go, the monks, into near the Red Sea. It's the only time they usually left any far away from the monastery. They go to fish, like the disciples, catch as much fish that would last them the whole 50 days. For them, the fish was the feast for them to eat, not the apostles' fast. And they would do this throughout the holy 50 days, remembering the Lord's work among the apostles and his work of salvation for us. So it was one catch, but it lasted for them several months. And for us, the same thing. How much does the Word of God remain in us and working and laboring in us throughout the week? Like, if I ask you, what was last week's gospel reading? And the week before, you see, of course, I know the month of Beba. I know it's the work of Christ and how he's working from the creation and doing the miracles in the lives of the people. And one is for the paralytic, and one is for the disciples, and one is for the rest of the world. But still, how much do we reflect on the Word of God so that we can be faithful to His commandments for us? When, if you were given the 5 or 2 or 1 talent, how much do we work with it throughout the week and throughout the month or throughout our lives? So that when you hear the gospel this Sunday, it's a reminder to you of what you had heard last year in this gospel, because most of the gospel readings are the same. Yes, sometimes a feast will fall on this Sunday, so there will be an adjustment, but 90% of the time it will be the same Sunday gospel reading. So if you have prepared and you received the catch from last, you are reminded so that we can build. That's what St. Paul said, to grow from glory to glory. So that's why the Lord gives commandments and instructions, very short but very powerful. When he told the people and told the disciples to tell the people to let the people sit down, that they knew once you sit down that they were going to eat. Because they had been standing when they hear the Word of God. Now, when we're speaking, we stand and you sit to reflect. But it was the custom in the Old Testament that the teacher would sit. That's why he went on a mountain, sat down, and then the people stood. Once they came down to sit, they knew that they were ready, because they had been hearing the Word of God and reflecting and waiting for His Word. So they were prepared to receive from it. Sometimes we are waiting to hear the Word of God and asking and praying to see how that we can respond. And sometimes we think that we get the feeling, or we say, "I feel that the Lord is asking me to do this." But doing the will of God is not a feeling, and is not a nice emotion, interior feeling that we get. Yes, there are emotions that are involved. But doing the will of God is it, and hearing the voice of God, most of the time will happen in community, will happen in reflection. That's why when we read the gospel here, it is different than when we are reading at home. Yes, it's the same word of God. But when the church is praying for the sick here, is different than when we are praying for the sick alone. The community of God and this worship, this is a powerful and important work for our lives. And that's why when we are celebrating the Divine Liturgy, it is a celebration of the people coming to God to receive His Word. Moses went on the mountain to receive the Word of God. And the Lord spoke to him very clearly. But always it was, you tell the people 1, 2, 3, 4. So he would gather the people and share with them what God spoke. Well, why didn't God just speak to them directly? Because there was a preparation that needed to be done through his incarnation, through his life-giving death. That's why when he came, he sat and spoke with the people face to face, which St. John the Evangelist, when he speaks in the first chapter of the Gospel, is so unique that any Jewish person to read that would understand this is the change of the relationship with God and man. For God to come and take flesh and speak with us face to face, it had not happened. And that's why some people who are not Christian, they are unable to accept it. They consider it blasphemy. So the work that God does through us in community, that he speaks through your father of confession, that he speaks through your spiritual guide, he speaks through the elders of the church, and he speaks when you're reading the Bible. To hear the word of God clearly, it's when all of this is consistent and very clear for you. That is reiterating. Some people, they come to the church, but they're not asking for the voice of God. They're not concerned, especially with what does God want me to do. Their main concern is how to fix all the problems in my life. But yes, God is the one to whom we have no other helper in our afflictions except for him. But at the same time, he's calling us, beckoning us, commanding us, imploring us to be faithful to him and to do his work, not only just to be able to say, give me the courage and the strength, just to stand up. And the Lord is saying, I not only want you to stand, I have a place for you to go. I have a work for you to do. I have word for you to share. And this for us in our life is the meaning why we are living still. Because there are some who had short period of life and some who had extended period of life. And I know when my life is being extended past beyond the time that I desire, that there's still work for me to do. As the Lord was made very clear to St. Paul, and St. Paul shared with us, that I would rather be with Christ. But I know I didn't finish my race. I didn't complete the work that God was asking me to do. This reflection and this prayer, this meditation on the Word of God, is very intentional. Sometimes we pick up the Igbeya and we read and we pray, but our prayer does not have intention. And one of the spiritual fathers once was guiding in his guidance, was saying, when you pray, be very intentional in every prayer. Not that we need something to pray for, but that when we are seeking for compassion, or when seeking for wisdom, when we're asking God for healing, or we're asking God for the message, the answer, you know, to our many questions, that our prayer is directed for this. The same with our fasting. We fast every Wednesday and Friday, and very soon we will start the fast. But our fasts also should be very intentional. Whether it is for virtue, whether it's for solution, whether it's for direction. But if we just fast aimlessly and pray aimlessly, yes, there will be a lot of confusion. And our purposes in life, or God's direction for us, will be clouded. The light of God, which he bestows on us, should not have clouds. There is sometimes darkness. Many times there is darkness. But for God, his desire is to reveal for us and for us to be lights. To be light in a dark world needs clarity and needs precision. And there cannot be room for uncertainty. So how that everything that we can do will have this purpose and this value. If your nets are always waiting for the catch, then you will be full of fish to provide sustenance not only for you, but for many others in your life. If that is not there, you will be hungry and the people around you will be hungry. The discovery here in this gospel for Saint Peter was not that the Lord Jesus Christ was God and the Savior of the world. The discovery in the gospel this time, in this gospel, was the discovery of St. Peter's sinfulness and how far he was from the Creator and the Master. He already knew. He raised his mother-in-law, or healed his mother-in-law. He already called him, and St. Peter had saw many things before this time. But this revelation was a personal revelation about himself. That's why the deep weakness that St. Peter understood, and he didn't want to share, and he's always trying to cover up, whether it's throughout the 3 years, when he speaks very quickly, is to cover up his own weakness. And that's again what the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes the second time for the catch of fish, to remind him of this. Didn't I tell you that you will catch men? Didn't I tell you you have a work to do? How come after all the fear and after I left, that you forgot why I created you, why I brought you, why I called you, and why I brought you here? After much suffering, sometimes we forget what God called us to do. Sometimes we forget the small little voice which he spoke to us. Elijah, after much of the work that he did very faithfully and honestly with the prophets and with the others, when he had one accusation and one threat by the queen, he forgot everything. And his life was turned upside down. And he ran away and kept running and searching until God was chasing him to say, where are you going? What are you doing? This is the work for us to remember what God is asking for us. Job went through 38 chapters speaking with his three friends. Each of their names referred to something about the power of God, the wisdom of God, the strength of God. And after all of their direction, most of the time Job is saying, I'm innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know why God is doing this. Why is he leaving me this way? For 38 chapters. 37 chapters, sorry. 38 and 39 are the two chapters where God gives all of the answers. In our life, we may face years, 38 weeks, 38 days, 38 years sometimes, waiting for God to speak to us clearly. And there's a lot of confusion. If you just read one of those books in the middle by itself, you may be confused. Remember the first time reading through the book of Job, they make sense. They have a point. And Job is trying to defend. Job makes sense too, but there's a lot of confusion and a lot of clouds in those 37 chapters. But when you read chapter 38, there is a silence. Job cannot speak, none of the friends can speak, and none of us can respond. When he first says, where were you when I created the world? When I placed the foundations? When I put man and all, put everything in its order? Did you even understand? And if I were to give, like if you were to give a lecture, it wouldn't be enough to explain all of the intricacies that he did when he created the world. And Job, he said, at first, what does this have to do with my situation? Job, it is all with your situation. Because you don't understand me and how I created you and all the things in the earth, you're not able to understand what is going on in your life. But if you understand who is the creator, everything makes sense. And all of the things which is lacking in sense and knowledge, you know where to seek it. Why are you asking your friends or trying to defend yourself with the friends and not speaking with me? Now you stay silent, as he says, and let me explain to you what is this work. And this whirlwind that is the beginning of the word of God for Job is the same thing that Elijah and many of the prophets experience. It's when they have to be very separated from all of the distractions, all of the noises that we have in this world, to hear the voice of God very clearly. And if the word of God is not clear for us, we will live in confusion. And we will live in misery. And we will be in misery for other people. Because either we're complaining or we're bringing them to tears. We have no answers. We are just more and more questioned. When someone needs an answer, we, as it says, misery loves company, so we join. But for us to have the word of God clear, you know your purpose. Maybe when you visit someone, or when someone comes to you, if the word of God is very clear, it only needs a sentence. When they used to always go to Pope Carolus, and there's many stories, it's not the time for it. But they would go for one word. Say, how? He has the one word. That's all I need. Or when the monks were traveling in the desert, they would search for the Abba. Give me one word. I just need the word. What is the next step? And because their nets were always down to seek that fish, that word of God that gives life, with time, They also became full of fish. They would share. Let me share with you what I had, what I learned here, what I learned here, what I learned here. There was a great man that he wanted to be a monk in those days. And when he went to the monastery, they told him, okay, this is how we fast. Every time he fasted, he got sick. So they told him, you can't be a monk. He said, no, but this is my desire. This is the only thing I wanted to do in my life. They said, no, you can't. Your stomach is not fitting for the desert. So he said, no, let me go to another father. He found out there was a monk very far. He went, journey very far. I want to be a monk. He said, no, you can't be a monk. Or he wouldn't have the answer. He said, but there's another father. If you want to go to the other one, he's a little bit further. Okay, show me where he is. And he would ask many questions along the way. Then they said, no, there's one who is 3 days walking. Nobody has seen him. Pray, God will guide you. So he fasted and he went for the 3 days. And he passed out. The angels gave him, woke him up, gave him some sustenance, and he walked till he met. Same question. No, you can't be a monk. But write this down. And he began to write the stories of the people that he met. And their words for him and words for the other people. His calling and his mission was not to be a monk, like most of us. But his calling was to record, and he began to collect all the fish to provide sustenance for all of us. Now, when anyone wants to be a monk, they read from his writings, the great Palladius, the one who wrote the history of the monks, or Paradise of the Fathers. And his call and his mission was this. Many times I imagine if he did not live, if he did become a monk, maybe he wrote nothing. He was going to be praying. And he wrote a few things, and that's it. But he didn't meet St. Mark the Ascetic. He wouldn't have met the disciples of St. Anthony. He wouldn't have met the people that had the sayings of St. Shenouda or St. Macarius. So for us in our life, the clear light of God that will shine differently in each one of us is for our call and our mission and our purpose. And that's why every Sunday, and of course every day, we collect the 5 loaves. But then when you come in this gate, this is the catch of fish that will sustain the rest of the week. If you are fortunate to attend in the Divine Liturgy more than once a week, then okay, that's your second or third fish for us, so that we can provide for us in our life and also those who are seeking the word of life and that are hungry for the salvation of their souls. May the Lord bless us with every spiritual blessing. Glory be to Him now and ever into the ages of all ages. Amen.